You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.
This is New Hampshire Now on 1-9, 1450 and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program this hour. The show brought to you by ARP New Hampshire. Government is broken and politicians are constantly getting into fights instead of getting any results on the key issues like the high cost of prescription drugs. For information, check out ARP.org/RX. And this hour also presented by the Concord Food Co-op. Great food, great people. Dine in or shop. The Concord Food Co-op is the centerpiece of Concord's beautiful Main Street. For information, check out Concord Food Co-op. .co-op. And this segment of the show brought to you by New England College and NEC.edu, offering over 35 undergraduate programs. For more information, check out NEC.edu. In just a moment, we'll be joined by Pete Buttigieg, Democratic candidate for president back in the Granite State. But first, I want to let you know that New Hampshire primary interviews on the program presented by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's uniquely New Hampshire. For more information, check out RathLaw.com. Honored to welcome to the program right now Pete Buttigieg, who joins us as he comes back to the Granite State here today as well as tomorrow. The event closest to Concord up in Plymouth, where he has a town hall at 1 o'clock tomorrow. He joins us right now on the program. Mayor Pete, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Appreciate you joining us for the show. Let's start with the Mueller reports and your takeaways from the Mueller report and where you feel things need to go from here in regards to President Trump.
Well, what we've seen, and it's not too surprising, is a pattern of unethical, corrupt, and perhaps criminal behavior. And at the same time, you know, when I think about what's next, I think about what I can do to make a difference. I'm not a member of Congress. I'm not party to some of these hearings or investigations. All I know is that America needs a new president. That's why I'm running to replace this president. And I think that the best way that we can send this kind of behavior into the dustbin of history is to make sure it's defeated very decisively at the ballot box so that the Democrats and Republicans can move on from the idea that this kind of behavior is tolerable in the highest office in the land.
Two questions off of that. The integrity of Attorney General Barr has been raised into question as a result of his press conference prior to the release of the report, and also how he pushed forth a summary that's failed to really capture, in the view of many, myself included, the essence of what the Mueller report was about. Do you feel that he needs to resign?
Well, he's certainly lost a lot of credibility by making it clear he put his loyalty to the president ahead of his loyalty to the Constitution. If he asked me for advice, I would encourage him to step aside, but I don't think that's going to happen. It's just one more reason we need a new president and a new White House.
Do you think Mueller should have interviewed Trump in person in order to determine his intent in regards to obstruction?
You know, I'll leave that to people who know more about the prosecutorial process. I'm not sure how much you can learn from engaging somebody with as loose a relationship with the truth as this president. The reality is we didn't need to have an interview with the president to see just how much wrongful behavior took place in this White House. And at the same time, you know, I think as Democrats, we can't lull ourselves into believing that this is going to change everything politically. The only way to really get the attention of, in particular, congressional Republicans is for this presidency and everything it represents to be defeated in an election.
And do you feel that needs to be, obviously, for yourself, you feel that there needs to be, in essence, a moving on from this to focus on the ballot box, to focus on voting out President Trump as opposed to an impeachment aspect of things? Do you feel that that is the direction the Democratic Party should take from this point in time, is to move on, to not get into a bitter, many will view as partisan, impeachment process?
Well, the thing that's on my mind is that voters need to hear what we have to say about them and about their lives. If it sounds like all we have to say is about him, then as toxic as this White House is, it's going to have a lot of people feeling left out. I'll let Congress exercise its oversight responsibilities and deal with the response that needs to happen up to and including impeachment. But while that's going on, I think the responsibility of people like me running for office is really about why what we have to offer is better for Americans living their everyday than what we have right now. Part of that, of course, is to make sure we have a White House with more honesty and with more decency. Part of it's also just to make sure we have better policies, that we return our focus to getting people better wages and paid family leave and protecting health care and investing in infrastructure and all the reasons that people are increasingly trusting Democrats more on the issues that are closest to their lives and their homes.
One of the aspects of your popularity that I think is significant is the integrity and authenticity with which you present yourself in an environment where Donald Trump was elected despite what many individuals knew were lacking in regards to integrity and honesty. And in order for our politics to change, there's going to have to be a cultural dynamic, in my view, where our leaders are respectable once again, where Donald Trump was not necessarily the catalyst, but a individual who benefited from an environment that had previously been created in regards to our politics. Do you feel that that is one of the strongest aspects of your popularity, is that integrity piece and authenticity and comfort with who you are?
Yeah, I think people right now just want a real person who tells the truth. And, you know, we've been starved for that. And it's, as you say, you know, in a way, it's this is environment where so little is expected of our elected leaders,
right,
that, you know, this presidency is as much a symptom of that as a cause. And we've almost come to accept the unacceptable just because expectations have been so low. I do think we're getting a lot of traction just by presenting a message, trying to show rather than tell what a very different kind of presidency would look like. And, you know, one of the things you learn as mayor very quickly is that you have to be straightforward and forthright to people, because if you say anything that that bends the truth, it'll catch up to you pretty quick. I think people want those same qualities in their president that they expect in the local leaders that they can reach out and find on a weekend in the grocery aisle, and that's part of what I'm trying to bring back into the electoral process.
How do you think that you do that? How do you bring, you know, the accountability that exists with being a mayor into a Washington, D.C. setting that is completely different and has run amok? I mean, there's, in my view, not going to be just a president that comes in and is able to change things. This is a generational, systematic problem that has taken place over a long period of time, and it's going to take a long period of time in order to change that. But there does need to be a start. So how do you begin that process of systematically changing a environment that has benefited corporations and has benefited the individuals in power for a long period of time?
Well, this is one of the reasons why we need to not just think about policy, but think about the system. We've tolerated the intolerable for a very long time in our political system, whether it's districts being drawn to where politicians are choosing their voters instead of the other way around, or whether it's the way that money is seeping into politics and dollars are outvoting people. A number of issues with our democracy that have people pretty jaded and pretty cynical. And so I'm under no illusion that it'll be easy to change these things, but I also refuse to accept that we have to accept them and live with them forever for the rest of the history and the future of the American people. We have come together as a country in the past to make reforms, to make our politics more accountable, and to make our government more responsive. And not only is it an option, I think we can't afford not to. The other thing we need to do is focus on results. You know, when I was in an officer in the military in a war zone, I knew that I was accountable every day through a chain of command for delivering on my job. And if something didn't go the way it was supposed to, I would get that feedback right away, adjust, and do better the next day. And that's what I expected of the people who reported up to me as well. I think we need that same kind of culture returned to the White House. And I think people are at the ballot box ready to vote that's exactly what they want.
That's Mayor Pete Buttigieg joining us here on the New Hampshire Now program. This hour of the show brought to you by ARP New Hampshire, as well as the Concord Food Co-op. And this segment of the program presented by New England College. Joe Biden is expected to get into the race early next week, and it is expected that his candidacy is going to focus on a battle for America's soul. In a lot of ways, is going to seek to bring America back to a period pre-Trump, and in America where there's more civility, decency, where Republicans get along with Democrats, and that there is more things achieved for the American people. Do you feel that the direction that he will bring the country in is what you are hearing from primary voters that they want? Or is there more of a forward aspect of what the voters are looking for?
Well, my personal focus is making sure that we talk about the future. I know there's a temptation to say, let's go back to normal, whatever normal was. But if normal was working for everybody, then a figure like the current president would never have come even close to being able to win. You know, part of why he is where he is that a lot of people were so upset, so disaffected with our political system and our economic system that they cast a vote to burn the house down. They didn't have any illusions about the character of this president, but they wanted to see the system blown up. Unfortunately, that's what we're getting. But the solution to that, I think, has less to do with trying to turn back the clock, whether it's, you know, the president's version of turning back the clock to the 50s, which I think is what he's saying, if you read between the lines of Make America Great Again, or some Democrats who wish we could turn the clock back to the 1990s. I don't think that that's an option. I think we have to come up with a new approach, new protections for workers, new standards for families, and health care and education, and live up to those standards so that the future is better than the past ever was.
Do you sense that this is a blow-it-up type of election as well, or this is a tinker around the edges, make things better, improve aspects of our country, perhaps move forward in regards to more quality in individuals' stakes in this country? Or do you think this is an election that is another transformational type one?
I think we're at one of those moments that only comes along every 30 or 40 years that is one of deep transformation between how things used to work and how things work now. The New Deal was one of those moments. The Reagan Revolution was one of those moments. I'm seeking to lead this party and hopefully this country into defining a new moment that is simply going to be different than what we've been doing up till now, because we've seen the limits of the system that I grew up in.
One of the things that has been so intriguing about your candidacy is it is so important, in my view, to in order to create tolerance and understanding for individuals to see past stereotypes that may have been drawn for them by their parents or by their surroundings. And your relationship with Chasten has been amazing to watch. He is an incredible figure. He's my favorite person to follow on Twitter. And I think it's so important to have that relationship for my sons and for sons across and daughters across the country to see what a gay couple is, and to have that at the forefront of the national conversation. And therefore, that breaks down, in my view, a lot of the stereotypes that that may exist. In your view, what is the significance of showing America your relationship? And was there, you know, debate and discussion about, you know, how to go about doing that? Because with each couple that takes to the stage, there is obviously nuances within their relationship and differences amongst candidates and how they go about presenting their marriage to folks.
You know, our overall approach is just to be as forthright and straightforward about who we are as we can. I think that it's easier for people to get over a stereotype or a prejudice if they know someone as a person.
Exactly.
I think that's true whether it's attitudes toward immigrants or racial attitudes or attitudes toward LGBT people. It's just different when you're thinking about somebody you know than when you're thinking about some category. You know, pretty early on in South Bend, we hit on the idea that as the kind of first gentleman that the city had ever seen, best thing we could do is just act like any other couple and hope people would treat us that way. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're doing now. And one thing I love about Chasten is I see him just in the way he conducts himself and in the way he spends his time on the trail, really modeling what I'd like to believe a good first spouse can do. Mm-hmm. And I think we can show rather than tell. You know, who we are, what we're about, and hopefully that opens some hearts and minds out there, too.
Love the one today about you picked Fish for some reason as being the band that you wanted to play your inaugural, and he said you misspelled Beyonce. I thought that was great. In conclusion, I think one of the you know, the key aspects moving forward as we look at this, the country in totality, is bringing people together. And this, in my view, is integral, because we have an environment right now. You look at the Mueller report as an example, where you have individuals on the right that are reading something exactly the same as, it's almost like scripture in a lot of ways, where individuals on the right are reading something completely different than what the people on the left are reading, but they're both reading the exact same thing. So how do we get to a place, and how would you as president get to a place where we can have commonality, where we can be more civil and have real discussions? Because a lot of what Biden is talking about is important, but I agree with you in regards to you know, bringing the country forward in this process, but together.
I think it starts with looking for the humanity in each other. I mean, when we're thinking about people who voted a different way than we do, you know, a lot of it I think of like I think about Thanksgiving dinner. There are people that you love, that you care about as human beings, that you admire many qualities that they have, and then when it comes to politics, they believe something that you just can't get on board with and can't get your head around. That shouldn't totally poison the way we view one another. We need to understand, especially when people, frankly, don't even get the same information or same news every day.
Right.
We need to try to understand where people are coming from. And I guess what I believe is that understanding where somebody's coming from doesn't have to mean walking away from your values or softening up your commitment to the things you believe in. It's just making sure that we see each other as humans and as Americans first, and then try to hash out these political issues. And then sometimes you just have to win. You just have to compete and win and then show how you would do things differently. Because I do believe that if most Americans saw the way we would govern versus the way we're being governed right now, that would only strengthen our ability to have a lasting majority.
Mayor Pete, as always, appreciate joining us for the program. Look forward to talking again soon. Enjoy your time in New Hampshire this weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
That is Mayor Pete Buttigieg here on the New Hampshire Now program. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the show presented by ARP New Hampshire as well as the Concord Food Co-op. That segment of the program presented by New England College and New Hampshire Primer Interviews here on the New Hampshire Now program presented by Rath Young and Pignatelli and RathLaw.com.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council and also by New Futures.